Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hello there. Well, so I'm just going to give you a little heads up here, a little advanced warning. My setting and noise background here isn't ideal, but we're going to push forward because, well, Thin Line Believers is finally back and we're excited. And I'm not going to wait any longer for the HVAC to shut off. So here we go. You have Adam again. And I say again, I know it has been quite a while, over a month, but we're back with a renewed motivation. And we had to take a bit of a hiatus. Me personally, I was actually moving. And if you know me very well, you know I didn't have to go too far, but I did move. And it's been a good move. And I am thankful and I'm blessed for it. And I'll leave it at that. I don't need to talk about me anymore. Today we're going to get into some interesting scripture because we left off at the end of chapter 11 with a couple of fire breathers. If you haven't listened to that one, check it out. Very cool chapter of Revelation, chapter 11. But today we're going to get into chapter 12. And chapter 12 is very interesting. In fact, I'd already thought that maybe some of chapter 12 would be a little better if I read it in a bit of an animated voice. Maybe something a little deeper than what I've gotten, and maybe with an echo. I don't know. Maybe we could try it like this. Because we're going to talk about a dragon. But I don't think I'm going to do that. I think we'll actually try to keep it somewhat serious here because what we're about to read is extremely serious. We're going to talk about the Jewish nation here. We're actually going to talk about Satan. And Satan is actually talked about quite a bit, especially in the New Testament. And today's scripture is no exception. We're going to read a bit about him. Now, this scripture before me has been interpreted in a couple of different ways, and I may get a little bit into that, but we're not going to get too far out in the mud here because I don't want to be dogmatic in this. Okay, I want to share the word with you, and I want to give you something to think about, something to chew on, especially for my first responder friends out there that may be pushing a car, maybe you're a firefighter waiting for that next call, and you have tuned in here, or I guess people don't really tune in quite as much anymore, but maybe you Spotify-in or your Apple iTunes-in, and this is an opportunity for you to be fed some of the word here. So that is what I intend to do today. I intend to be a conduit for you, from my Bible to your ears. So here we go. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon on her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain and was as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Now this is, we don't even have to be dogmatic here. We can tell that this here is Satan. He's called the dragon in other portions of scripture. And moving along. Verse 4, its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. Now, I have been taught, and I believe this is accurate, that the woman here represents Israel. Oftentimes in the Bible, Israel is referred to as a woman in, about to give birth, a woman in travail. And I, it also references this dragon that swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Now I believe, and do your own research here, but I believe that this refers to the rebellion in heaven when Satan and a third of the angels rebelled against God and were flung to the earth. Moving along. Verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Okay, so 1,260 days. What does that remind you of? In case you didn't remember, we talked about time times and half a time, which represents 3.5 years. And 1,260 days would be the equivalent in the old Jewish calendar of 360 days. 360 days a year, 3.5. Brings us to 1,260. And the child spoken of here, some teach that this is Jesus Christ himself, born of the Jewish nation, taken to heaven. Some also teach that this is the church, born out of the Jewish nation, because Jesus himself was a Jew. And then taken to heaven before the Great Tribulation. Whatever the case, this point right here, this 1,260 days, I believe is talking about the second half of the Tribulation, or what some people would refer to as the Great Tribulation. Okay, moving along. Then, verse 7, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, and let me backtrack for just a second. Before we get into this, this says that Satan was removed, and his angels. Now, if we go back to the book of Job, we can see that Satan is actually still allowed access to heaven. I just wanted to throw that in there so that this might make a little more sense to you. Because you say, wait a minute, Satan is thrown out of heaven now again? What is going on here? So, there you go. Refer to Job chapter 1, and you can see that Satan is actually still allowed access to heaven. Okay, verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. That's what the devil does, guys. That's what his job is. He accuses us. In fact, that's what devil means, is accuser. That's what he does day and night before God, is accuses us. Now, in my case, and I'm sure yours too, he's not going to God and telling lies, because God would know better than to believe that. No, he's got plenty of material without having to tell a lie. Hey, Adam said about, you know, Adam used a curse word. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm a sinner. That happens every now and then. Let's see. Adam was angry at someone. He was, you know, he held anger in his heart. Yeah? Yeah. That's probably true. Adam was being kind of a jerk to his wife. Yeah. Yeah, Adam's kind of a jerk sometimes. But we know, you know what? Let's just continue on here. I don't even need to explain it. It's going to say it right here in verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not live their lives so much as to shrink from death. We have an accuser who accuses us day and night, but he's been overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Regardless of what we have done, it's arrogant of us to think that our sins are too great, that they are too costly to be forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, or 3.5 years, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. Just real quick here, who is going to be left on earth if this is post-rapture? Who is going to be left for this dragon to wage war against? What offspring is this referring to here? I believe that this is talking about the tribulation saints. There are going to be people on the earth who come to faith in Jesus Christ after the rapture of the church. And that's a beautiful thing. It's unfortunate because I think that there are a lot of people today who are maybe on the fence about this. But as it's been said, the devil owns the fence. And if they're on the fence now and they realize how real all of this is after the rapture, there's a good chance that they're going to be killed for their faith during the tribulation period. And that's why it's so important for you and me to share our faith today, because there are people that we love, that we care about, who don't know about Jesus. Or maybe they know about him, but they don't have a relationship with him. They don't believe. How important is it for us to share our faith right now, today? And that's what I'm doing. And I tell you what, in the past month plus that I haven't been sharing in this capacity, in this platform that the Lord has given to me and Steve, I felt kind of rotten on the inside. Because I take in the word, I take in sermons, I do my prayer time, my devotion time, but I don't have this outlet. Like the Dead Sea, right? Water comes in and it stays. There's no outlet. So there's no cleansing. We can take in the word all we want, but if we're not out there sharing our testimony, if we're not out there living the life that people look at and say, I want to know what hope you have. Where does your hope come from? And then share your faith. If I don't have that outlet, I'm going to be dead inside, just like the Dead Sea. Let's get into chapter 13 here. I'd like to get more than one chapter because I'd like to finish up Revelation before the rapture actually happens. That way you guys get the whole book, maybe. Maybe. I'm not going to say, Lord, wait until I'm done. But hey, let's go forward here with this. The dragon, chapter 13, stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads. With 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. That's a hard word to say. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power, and his throne, and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" Verse 5, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise its authority for 42 months, which equals 3.5 years, by the way. Verse 6, it opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Before we continue here, I want to point something out. In chapter 13 here, the first 9 verses, well, 8 verses anyway, are talking about Satan and his Antichrist, capital A. Now, for a very in-depth study of the Antichrist, you're best to refer to Daniel, whose prophecies about this little horn in Daniel, and one who boasts, who speaks very proud words, the Antichrist. Daniel has very in-depth and very interesting prophecy about this coming Antichrist. And right here you see that it says seemed to be a fatal wound. So in other words, this Antichrist is going to be wounded. And in fact, I think it was Zechariah, don't quote me on that, says that it'll be blinded in one eye. He'll be blinded in one eye and possibly lose the use of his, I think, right arm. Don't quote me on that. I didn't prepare quite as well as I should have, obviously. But for a more in-depth study, check out Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, goes into this too. Now John talks at another time about this Antichrist, but he also says that there are many Antichrists even now, and that's lowercase a, many Antichrists. And an Antichrist is anybody who denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Anybody who is against Christ, which is what anti means, right? To be against Christ. So even today, there are many Antichrists. But I believe, along with many others with me who share this belief, that the Antichrist, capital A, is alive and well today and is yet to be brought on scene, at least in this capacity. Now, I don't know who he is, and that's not who I'm looking for. And even though the Bible does talk about it, I think a major purpose for that is for tribulation saints, those who will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ during the tribulation. Because when that happens, it's very important for them to know who the Antichrist is. You and I are looking for Jesus Christ. We're not looking for the Antichrist. And sometimes I think we have a propensity to spend too much time looking at this guy because, well, as humans, we have kind of a strange interest with nefarious folk, serial killers, Bonnie and Clyde, you know, Ted Bundy, you know, the Italian mobsters, you know, all these movies that have been made about criminals. We have a strange infatuation with them. And so, of course, it's kind of natural, humanly natural, for us to really look into this Antichrist guy. And people have named different characters as to who the Antichrist is. I believe Ronald Reagan was one that people really believed was the Antichrist because each of his names was six letters long, right? R-O-N-A-L-D, and I can't remember the middle name, R-E-A-G-A-N. Wilson, that was his middle name. But we, as believers, we'll be out of here before the Antichrist is revealed, capital A, the actual Antichrist. Okay, but I think it's important to look around us right now and to see that things might just be getting set up for this. And if you're thinking, man, things around the world don't look quite right, this push for globalism, well, that's in Revelation. You know, people have been saying for a long time, we just need one great leader to get us out of this mess that we're in. That's in Revelation. That's the Antichrist. He's going to come as a man of peace, very boastful and proud. And have you noticed how everybody seems to think you need to be proud about everything these days? But the Bible says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's very interesting times we're living in right now. Very interesting. You can see that things are upside down. You get too many cell phone tickets and it's going to turn into a crime, but you can walk around all day with less than 2 grams of meth in your pocket, a gram of heroin in your pocket, and get $100 ticket. And I know from my work experience and investigations, less than a gram of heroin can kill somebody. But it's a $100 ticket. That's less than a seatbelt. Things are not quite right. Things are a little bit backwards and upside down. So there's very good chance, and I believe it very much, that we may be headed toward these times as being described in this book. But I want to give you some hope here. I don't want to give you fear. God gave us prophecy not to scare us, but to prepare us. And so I want to give you some hope. As Paul said in Thessalonians, that blessed hope. And that blessed hope is this, that you and I are going to heaven. Chapter 3 in this book of Revelation that I started months ago says to pray that we are worthy to escape these things. And we're not found worthy to escape these things by our own righteousness, by our own goodness. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm worthy of a shallow grave. That's about all I'm worthy of. But we are made worthy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus lived perfectly, and he died in my place. He took my penalty. That makes me righteous in the eyes of the Father. That is my hope. No matter how bad it gets here on earth, I'm going to heaven. And Lord willing, I'm going to take as many people as I can with me. And I also want to encourage you with this. A lot of people look around them and they're really firmly planted in this world. And I get it. I really do. I've got kids. And people say, well, I've got kids. I want to see them grow up. I want to see my grandkids. Well, my question would be, what makes you think that you won't see them in heaven? What makes you think that you're not going to see them grow up in heaven? And after this 7 years is up, as we're going to find out in the future chapters here, I hope, Lord willing, we're going to see that we come back to this place and is ruled and reigned over by Jesus Christ. We're going to come back to this world and we're going to have the most righteous ruler possible. We're going to live in the safest world. The most prosperous place ever. under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's the place that I want my kids to grow up in. I want to be able to let them walk down to the store without fear of them getting hurt or worse. That's the world that I'm looking forward to. So if you're afraid of the rapture, if you're afraid of going to heaven, if you're afraid of being taken out of this world, please don't fear. That's why Paul said, encourage one another with these. Encourage one another. This is the blessed hope. Let's finish out this chapter. Verse 10. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. Lost my place. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. That's you and me. Patient endurance, faithfulness, especially in days like this. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast to deceive the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. Wow. Okay. The devil tends to copy what God does. Here in chapter 13, we were introduced to a few characters, okay? One, the devil. Two, the Antichrist. And three, this third critter, beast. Actually, it's the second beast, but this third character that we will call the false prophet. And this is somebody who directs people to the Antichrist, worship the Antichrist, right? Set up an image of the Antichrist. This is a copy. An evil copy, right? Kind of like the evil twin, but not as fun. So we have God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. In this case, we have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now, the job of the Holy Spirit, not only is the restrainer, the comforter, but his main job is to point to Jesus Christ. The false prophet here, his job, is to point to the Antichrist. So this is like an evil, prideful copy. And then here at the end, we have this little blip about this mark on the hand or the forehead. Now, if you go back to the days of Moses, you will see that the priests were to wear this, the word. Okay, and they actually had this little box that they would wear on their forehead. And it said that the law was to be on their forehead or on their hand. And that was referring to, you know, symbolism. It was referring to that they would always have the law on their minds. That they would always be holding it in their hands and reading it. We're going to do the same thing today. Because I guarantee you, in those days, in the days to come, and even nowadays, if you don't have the Word of God in your mind, if you don't have the Word of God in your hand, which is what I'm trying to share with you, I really am, you're going to be all the more susceptible. And I don't think that it's you. I don't think that it's necessarily the listener here. But those who don't have the Word of God in their mind, in their hearts, in their hands, are so much more susceptible to receiving this mark. And even before this mark comes out. Okay, the number is 666. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic in this and tell you that that number is, you know, going to be tattooed on somebody or whatever. What I know is that biblically speaking, the number 6 refers to man, to the flesh. And if we have a body, soul, and spirit, that's 3 parts to us. And if our body is given over to the flesh, and our mind is given over to the flesh, and our spirit is given over to the flesh, then there's no God in us. If we live for the world, there's no God in us. And I think that that's what this 666 is about. It's about living for the world. Okay, so before we close out, and that did bring us to the end of chapter 13. There's people that could say that the mark is a part of this, the shot that's been rolled out. I don't think so. And I'm not going to go into that. That's for everybody's, their own convictions, and do your own research and make a decision based on your own research as far as getting that shot. But this mark is representative of who you worship. Now, if you and I believe in the Lord, and if we have a relationship with Him, we have already given our hearts over to Him. We already are marked. Our names are in the book of life. And in the past, we've already talked about this. You are marked. But if you're not, I want you to understand the repercussions of not accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior now. We're going to see in the coming chapters that the first half of the tribulation was nothing. The second half is awful. And you can be saved quite simply, very simply. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. That's the easiest part. You can see that none of us is righteous, not even one, as it says in Romans. Believe in the Lord Jesus. That's number 2. Just believe in Him. But even the devil believes. And that brings us to the 3rd. Confess. And call upon His name. Confess your sins. Call upon the name of Jesus. And the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I'm coming to find that repentance is so, so important. Repentance means to turn around. It means to make a 180-degree turn. You see what sin you're involved in, however minor. You see it. You make it known to God. God, I have sinned. That's your confession. You don't have to go and sit down with a priest. You confess it to God. Confess it to one another. confess it to God, and you turn around and you walk away from it. And don't ever look back. I think these are pretty tough times to be a first responder, and that's why we got kind of this new fire within us to share in this ministry. These are crazy times. We deal with rioters. We deal with hate. It blows me away in how few years we went from first responders being held to up on this pedestal for different things. 9/11 and other things since then. Natural disasters. School shootings. Videos of cops running toward the danger. Firefighters running toward the Twin Towers. It shows the heart, the true heart of first responders. But then we see a couple people in videos who don't really have the hearts of true first responders, of true servants, that really sully this profession, this first responder profession, this veteran profession. And it becomes kind of discouraging when we're out there patrolling, and I know this firsthand, patrolling, working fire scenes, dispatching. Me personally, I get flipped off just for driving a car. I know there's dispatchers who have people call in and threaten them. There's firefighters who have to watch out for their safety, not just because of a fire anymore, but they have to watch their back for somebody who wants to hurt them. And then you throw into it this illness thing. And then you throw into it lawmakers against you, changing laws, making your job harder. I get it. But I'm learning something that I think, at least for me, is incredibly important. With these crazy times coming, with the United States not looking even like it did a month ago, certainly not like it did a year ago, I believe that the Lord is telling us something extremely important. And I hope you'll hear me out on this. When you and I became believers, when we made that commitment, when we sought that relationship, we gave up our citizenship in this world and we gained our citizenship in heaven. We gave up being orphans in this world and we received adoption in heaven. So you and I, our job here and now, is to make sure that we are taking as many people as we can with us. Because otherwise, the words in this book that I'm going to continue reading, Lord willing, to you, hold true for those left behind. And I do not want that to be you, and I know that you don't want that to be your friend, your father, your sister, your brother, your kids. That's why we get into the Word. We are no longer citizens of this earth, and thank God we're not citizens of this earth anymore, because this place is falling apart. I believe it's the law of thermodynamics, right? Things go from order to chaos. We're seeing that in real time. This place is chaos. But we know the God who put it all together, who created the atom and holds it all into place. Atomic glue is baloney, okay? That force that holds everything together, that's God. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look up atomic glue. It's pretty funny. They don't actually know what holds atoms together. It doesn't make any sense. But that's it. It's God. So what a good place to be. Name written in the book of life. Going to heaven. Citizenship not of this crazy world. So if you're looking around and you're thinking, man, this something's not quite right. You're not alone. God's on the throne and he knows what's going on. All right. God bless you all. I've blabbed enough. Keep coming back, guys, because we're going to have more material for you. Steve's coming back here pretty quick. And so you won't have to listen to just me anymore. But listen, read ahead, okay? We finished off chapter 13 here. Get into chapter 14. That way it's familiar. Get into your word every day if you can. All right, God bless, folks. Take care.